course, it is sure a pleasure to be amongst the people here. Just the smiles, the laughter, the kids playing, the joy that we have as being Christians and being able to assemble here together with people of like faith. It is very, very joyful, fulfilling, and it's great to be among you. I'm able to stand in front of you and present a lesson this morning because Jeff had and his wife Libby have taken a trip to Russia to be an encouragement to those Christians that are out there, to the family, the extended family that we have out there in Russia. He's there to help them, to help guide them and teach them and study with them. And I'm sure that he will get as much out of it as he will give to those people. And it is very important that us as Christians, we do the same thing. Not meaning we all have to go to Russia, but that we are able to be an encouragement to other people. To other people when we meet here. That's why the scripture tells us that when the saints assemble, we are to be here. To encourage one another in holy and godly things. And being a godly influence is very important. It's something that I want us to reflect upon this morning. I want to encourage you this morning to be a good, godly influence in your life and other people's life and those who are around you. We read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And I hope you still have your scripture or your Bible open there. I do have it up on the screen if you do not. But I always encourage you to take your Bibles and open your Bibles because as I'm talking, you usually kind of look at the verse before and the verse after, which is a great thing to do. Find the context in which it's written, and have your Bibles open. Familiarize yourself with the text that will allow you to get to heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 18 reads, "Therefore we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." And that's what I want to do this morning. While we're all getting older, and this outward man, this body that we have, is perishing, whether young or old, age doesn't matter. But let's allow this inward man today to be renewed. For, it goes on in verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So as we continue in this lesson today, I wanted to point this verse out and start with this verse because it's not the things that we are doing today. It's not these temporary things, these worldly things that we want to focus on. It's the eternal things that we want to direct our lives towards. The things which are not seen. We want to direct our lives towards them as well as others, as well as the people that we might meet in our lives and the people that we deal with day in and day out. And I want to start off with today with talking about your spouse. And some of you might not be married, but one day you might be. And for those of us who are married, we know that marriage is a blessing from God. It truly is. To have somebody that you can walk through this life with, this temporary life here in this world, hand in hand, side by side, through thick and through thin. It's very important to realize, know, and understand that you can be an encouragement to your spouse. Husband or wife, it doesn't matter. We are to be a great encouragement and influence on our wives. So let's start with the husbands. Husbands, Ephesians 5, verse 25. I'm sure we hear these verses every time that it gets talked about between husbands and wives and responsibilities. And it's something we kind of look at. We know, yeah, we're the head. Yeah, I'm responsible. Okay, I understand that. Well, take a look at it. Take another look and refresh your mind on the responsibilities you have as a husband and the influence you have as a husband. Husbands, you are to love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Christ died for the church, for us. Are you willing to die for your wife? Are you willing to put herself before you? Verse 28, 29 talks about love your wife as your own body. No one ever hated his own flesh. Have you thought about that lately? We always think about, okay, you know, I need to exercise. I need to make sure I'm studying. I need to make sure I'm eating right. I want to take care of myself. And we do these things, but do we think about, do I love my wife more than I love myself? Am I taking care of my wife as much as I take care of myself? From everyday routine things that we just do out of habit. Do you treat your wife in the same? And husbands, some of us are fathers. We need to be that head Christian influence in our family. That is a great opportunity. You have an opportunity as a husband to be this spiritual guider, trainer, influence in your child's life. Have you looked lately at the way that they look at you sometimes? Like, wow, you are my hero, Dad. That feeling is so great. Smiles and the hugs and the loves and the kisses. That just fills you up. Don't take that for granted. Know and understand what responsibility you have that comes with that. You can be a great influence on your child, on your wife, without even lecturing scripture to her. Just by your actions, you can do those things. Be a good husband. And wives, I'm sure you hear it all the time. And for some people, it's hard to hear. That in Ephesians 5, verse 22 is the verse, the book, chapter, and verse. It says, wives are to submit to your husbands just as you are to the Lord. And for you wives that are here, you're being submissive to the Lord right now as we speak. That's why you're here, right? You're here to serve the Lord. Put yourself into subjection of His laws, of His commandments. Well, the husband is the head just as Christ is, right? Are you being submissive to your husband? Do you know what great of an influence you have on your husband? You know, most guys think that we are just this rough and tough, rock solid. You know, I can stand up against the world. My shoulders are broad. But I tell you what, that's not always the case. Wives, we need you as husbands. We have a massive responsibility as the head of our family, as a provider of our family, as a great influence on our children. We need you. We need you to be good Christians. We need you to be a great influence to us. You know, there's a lot of times we might not want to hear the things that you have to tell to us or say to us because we don't want to have to say, yeah, honey, you're right. But we need you. And even if it's not through word, maybe it's through action. Maybe it's through deed. But wives, you need to make sure that as that influence that we need you to be, that you allow us to be the head of the household. The head spiritual influence. And maybe not by pointing your finger and telling us, but maybe by changing some of the little things that you do. Maybe go to your husband and say, hey, honey, this is going on with the kids. Could you take care of it? I want them to know that, you know, you are an authority figure in this house. Or, you know, honey, I think, you know, maybe the bills are kind of getting out of line. Can we sit down together? Or, hey, how about, you know, I'm going to open up the Bible and can we study Acts maybe? Or anything along that nature that you might be able to be that influence to your husband. If you see us lacking somewhere, well, help us. Be there for us. Be that friend for us. Be that godly influence that we need you to be. And for those of you who might be here by yourself, you might have a husband or a boyfriend or a fiance at home that doesn't believe. Or maybe is just struggling and they have slid back from God's word and just isn't falling down his path. You know, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 16 says, for how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Be that godly influence. Are you the Christian influence the other half needs you to be? Because in 1 Peter 3 verse 1 through 2 says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. You see what that scripture says? Even if you aren't to say a word, but you do what you're supposed to do as a Christian, and you live the life, the godly life, that you're supposed to have the fear of the Lord and respect and reverence of the Lord and good chaste conduct, you could save your husband. Verse 7 starts out with the words, husbands likewise. And it continues and goes on. Husbands, we can do the same thing just by being a good Christian influence. And if that can't make you smile, then you are just fighting a losing battle because you've already lost in your head. And talking about being a Christian influence, what about our kids? What about our children? Can we be an influence to our children? Absolutely. Many things influence our children. I had for Christmas, our kids got a little one of those little basketball goals, and we have it downstairs in our basement. And they happened to watch a movie a couple of days ago. I think it was Space Jams, and Michael Jordan was on it. And Ava goes, "Look, Dad, Michael Jordan!" And she kind of stretches out and dunks it. I'm like, "Where did you learn that from?" You know, but there, I learned it from a movie. Well, movies can be influential. Cartoons are very influential. Friends of theirs are very influential. But what about their parents? Are their parents the godly influence that they need to be? When I look at my children and think of the responsibilities I have as a Christian, it makes me tremble the power that I have as their parent to think, wow, I'm responsible for this period of your life to train you, to bring you up as a child in God's through God's word. And then I smile and I think, how great can this be that I do have this opportunity? You as parents have this opportunity to train your child up. And we're commanded to do that. And so children, as we try and do these things, here's something for you. The Bible does say that you as kids have things that you're responsible to do. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, think about yourselves. Am I obeying my parents? Well, the Bible says I should be. Verse 2 says to honor your father and mother. Are you bringing honor to them? Deuteronomy 5, chapter 5, verse 16 says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long. And it goes on. Parents, some of us still have our parents around, right? So we're still children. And are we being a good example? Are we being a good influence? Kids, you have friends, right? You can be good, godly influence to your friends. That's so important. And it should make you think, okay, I want to be that friend. I want to be that good and godly influence in my friend's life. And in doing these things and in keeping to his commandments, you can do that. And what that means for us as parents is that we're to be worthy of this respect and this obedience. I'm not saying that, kids, this doesn't give you an excuse to say, well, you're not worthy of me respecting you, mommy or daddy. No, that's not right, because the Lord tells you to obey and to honor your father and mother. But what I'm simply saying to parents is, like Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Are you doing these things? Are you being that good example? Because we can be. We should be. We should delight in that fact. Let's make it easier for our children to look at us as that good example by being persistent in the fact that, you know, let's be Christians first. Let's do things and be consistent in your treatment and your actions towards them, whether it be discipline or whatnot. But we can't live as hypocrites, right? I mean, we all know what it's like to have that boss that was just completely disconnected from what we were actually doing, right? That boss that just came in and just ruled with this iron fist and said, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, don't do this, don't do that, right? That he had just a negative influence on your life. But when it comes to our children, let's have that positive influence. Let's be that good, godly example. And not just on the surface, because as they grow up, they'll eventually see, well, Dad says this, but he kind of does that. Is that okay? And they won't ask you, but is that the path and the influence you want to have in your children? No, it's not. Let's bring them up in faith and guidance in the Lord and take great happiness in the fact that we are allowed to do that in this life. Now, how about our family? We think our kids are watching. Well, family's watching too. And they're watching. And those of them who might not be Christians, you know, they always seem to be watching just a little bit more than others. They always seem to kind of have that judging eye, right? They are very quick to say things, to bring things up, to make a little poke here and there, a little jab here and there. They are watching. And that's why in Colossians 3 and verse 17 says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have a godly influence on them. But the question is, are we going to be their reason for sinning or for salvation? It's going to be one or the other. We as Christians live to a higher standard. We have a greater reward. We have an opportunity to be a good example. Like Matthew 5:13-16 says, to let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Be the godly influence so that they might be saved. Be happy in that. Be joyful in that. I mean, think about what you feel when you're here and what you can feel when you're living your lives and things are getting tough. And, you know, I have God. I'm going to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Don't you want your family to be there? Talk to them. Love them in word and in deed. Show them. You know what? I've had many times with my unbelieving parents that, you know, they wanted to come visit or they wanted us to go somewhere to do something with them. Yeah, that's fine. We would absolutely love to go as long as we're back for church Sunday morning. Oh, okay, well, what about if we just change it? You meet us here after services, and then we'll go here, we'll go there, and then we'll go have supper, and then, but I have to go back Sunday evening. What do you mean you have to go back Sunday evening? You've already been to church once. Right, but I've got to go back. We're assembling. I need to be an encouragement to people. There's people there I want to see. People there I want to be a part of. Right? I do it for the Lord. And what are they going to see? Something different in Him. That actually means something to them. And maybe next time it's, hey, you want to go do something Sunday afternoon? Come with us to services Sunday morning. And then Sunday afternoon we can go do it. And then we can go back to church. Turn it around on them. Be that good influence. You can do that if you let your light shine. If they can see that, wow, God really makes them happy. You know, things got really bad there for them last year. But they were still smiling, they were still praying, they were still going to church, and look where they are now. I want to be with that, right? We can do many great things for our loved ones, not even knowing it. We can be the Christians we need to be to our family by being a good, godly influence. And there's some of us that might sit here and think, well, I've only got a couple people in my family that I really even talk to or that are even around. So friends are just as important. We spend more time, it seems, with friends than we do family. Sometimes friends feel like family. But we can be this influence to our friends, too. Is your best friend here today? Is your best friend here this morning? Are you sitting next to or can you see your best friend? If you can, amen. That is great. And I bet it feels great. And I bet that bond between you is great. Well, those of us who don't have any of our friends here. Granted, together as members, we are all friends. We are family. But what about when we leave here? Who's the first person we call or text message? Or when we want to do something fun, who's the first person we think about? Have you thought about what sort of godly influence you are to them? It is very important that if you call them friends, they should know that you're a Christian. When they call you and say, hey, Super Bowl's on, Super Bowl Sunday, you coming or what? I'll be there after services. What? But you go to church Sunday morning and you get back into the same routine. You can be a good godly influence and still have friends. You don't have to hide yourself. Like it said in Matthew, let your light shine from the mountaintop. 2 Timothy 1:8, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Don't be ashamed. Help them. Help them see that. See, this is why I'm happy. I have more to look forward to than a paycheck every 2 weeks. I have God. Come with me. Study with me. Let's sit down and read a couple of chapters together. Let's do this study. Why don't you come to services? Hey, you can be that good godly influence. And you should be excited to be that. We should be encouraged to be that. And there's no shame in not doing the worldly things that I have listed on the board. There's no shame in not doing them. God can and does give us the strength as Christians to be who we need to be. We don't have to be worldly to have friends. Your friends can come to church with you too. Your friends know you. They see you. They see who you are. Let them be encouraged by you. Take delight in the fact that we can call them friends and let's call them Christians. But beware. 1 Corinthians 15:33 is a true statement. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Don't allow their influence to overcome who you are. And don't learn that verse is true by allowing it to happen to you. Because it will happen. Might not happen overnight, but it will happen. But take delight in the fact that you can be an influence to them for good. Might take longer,
But you can be that influence.
You should strive to be that influence. And use the power of God's Word. Don't just try to do it on your own. Do it in Word. When it comes, if something comes up, hey, the Bible says something about this. Or hey, when we were at church, you know, so-and-so said something like this. And relate. If faith as small as a mustard seed can move a mountain, then imagine what God can do if you planted a seed of His Word in your friend's heart and mind. Don't doubt the power of His Word. Very, very powerful. And don't underestimate the power of your influence on God. How about everybody else in the world? The people that you just drive past. Somebody that's behind you, or the somebody that cuts you off, or somebody that's at work, or somebody you walk into an office and see. What about them? How can you be an influence to them? How should we want to be an influence to them? You know, their perception of you is really going to be their reality of you. You can argue both sides of that statement about perception being reality. But if they take a snapshot of you, right, pulling out of the church building here, and you don't see them coming up over that hill, and you pull out and they're honking, and you decide to say hi to them or do something else or say something else, what perception are they going to have of every single Christian in this parking lot? Well, they're a bunch of hypocrites, right? What perception is somebody going to have of you if they walk into a bar and see, well, there's that guy, but I know he goes to church somewhere, I think. They're going to put you guilty by association. So you're in the middle of a mall and you stub your toe or you do something silly like that and you say something. All those people that hear you, well, they're going to think, he's not a Christian. That's a bummer. So what are people thinking of you? What are people seeing of you? And if you can, turn over in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. In being a good influence, this is how we can do that. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice all the day in the Christ, that I have not run in vain without or labored in vain. So let your light shine, so that the things that you do will not be in vain. The people that you run across, the people that you pass, the people that you might say hi to once in your life, let them see that light. Be encouraged to know that you can change somebody's heart with just your actions or a simple word. As faithful Christians, we have this opportunity to bring people to God without even knowing it. So we need to watch what we say. Colossians 3:17 talks about, again, in word or deed. And Ephesians 4:29 about letting no corrupt word come out of our mouth, but only what's necessary for edification. Watch what we say. You can sit in your office for 2 years and be talking about God and talking about church and inviting people, and then something slips. Something comes out of your mouth, a statement, a paragraph, a sentence, a word, and people are going to think differently of you. Be aware of that. And don't let that bring you down. Don't let that make you think, man, this is just impossible to be a Christian. But rejoice in the fact that you do have influence in that person's life. That you do have an effect on whoever it might be. Encourage those you meet to do good by doing good yourself. We need to allow God to be the main influence in our life. It's very important. We are to examine ourselves every Sunday, as we've just done, to partake in a worthy manner. That when we do so, we pray and we ask the Lord to guide us, to allow us to be that godly influence, for us to reflect upon ourselves and ask, am I walking my faith, Lord? Lord, help me. Help me not walk by sight. Help me to be the person I need to be. And are we preaching? Well, while we aren't all preachers, per se, we should be. We should go on to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you're going to preach to somebody and you're going to talk to somebody, is that going to affect them? Is that going to influence them? Absolutely. Absolutely it will. And it's not just a preacher's job on Sunday. And are we living as the example we should be? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And he who says he abides in him ought also himself to walk just as he walked. Let's strive for this perfection, because in doing so, we will influence everybody that we come in contact with our whole life. So in conclusion, we have the opportunity to influence our spouse, our children, our friends, our acquaintances, our own lives. What do you mean influence our own lives? Well, people decide to do new things every day, to endeavor on new ventures and journeys every day. So what about you? How can you influence your own life? How about you start with 2 minutes 2 minutes a day. Set a timer. Open your Bible. Start at a book. Read for 2 minutes. The timer goes off. Shut it off. Shut the book. Come back tomorrow for another 2 minutes. Well, what's that going to do? Well, it's going to influence you. It's going to start and create this new thing in your life. Where it's going to get you back into the Scripture. And by you doing that, you're going to affect your spouse or your friend or somebody that sees you somewhere. And then when you get asked by a friend, what's the Bible say about this? So-and-so told me this, this, and that. You're going to say, hey, I read that the other night in just those 2 minutes. It's here in the Bible. Is that going to be an influence to your friend? Absolutely. Delight in that. Be ready for that. Strive for that. Don't let this opportunity slip by. Christ will strengthen us as long as we set our mind on things above and not things of this earth. And if we live that way, it will be a great influence. People can influence you in many ways, either good or bad, and push you away from something or pull you towards something. What are you going to do with the power that you have? We have the power of God's Word. And through Him, He will strengthen us. And through Him and our influence, we can bring more people to Him. That's important. There's some of us who don't have that opportunity. We don't have Christ yet. We haven't been baptized. The Scripture gives us easily the plan of salvation, as we sometimes call it. We are to hear Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. And once we hear that, if we believe that word, well, then we might be able to repent. Peter said to them, repent. And after that, he said, to be baptized. We are to confess with the mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10 verse 9. Then we are baptized. And we arise up out of those waters. The moment you rise up out of those waters, you are influencing somebody's life. There hasn't been a baptism that I've witnessed that when that person rises up out of the water, I haven't gotten chills. I haven't smiled. I haven't sang louder. I haven't gone out and thought, amen. I am so glad. The second you come up out of those waters, you have that power of influence. Use it. Use it. Grasp it. Take heed. Take hold of that opportunity to talk to your friends and your family. And after you're baptized, we are to live faithfully. Faithful unto death, Scripture says. Faithful unto death. Knowing that we have an opportunity to influence each and every single person that we come in contact with, that sees us, that hears us, that knows us, that's related to us. Smile. As you go out into this world, take that with you. Take this knowledge and understanding that what you do in word or deed, you can influence somebody's life and they can have that feeling that you have inside you of salvation, of eternity, of everlasting life in heaven with our Father. If we can do anything for you this morning, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing the Invitation Song.